It is so good to see you tonight, and I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to be able to speak to you this evening. I'd like to thank Dave for asking, and of course the elders for allowing me to be here. When you sing a song like I'll Fly Away before you come up, you just kind of really, you know, I get a little nervous. So I just kind of really hope that I would actually fly away before we actually have to do the message. But we're just excited to be here tonight, and I'm glad to be able to share with you all. Derek and Doug, they're down in, and their families are down in Panama City Beach this week. And Derek sent me a text this afternoon, says, "Hey, just letting you know I'm praying for you for your message." And I said, "Good, I'm going to need it." And then I followed it up with, "I have 49 slides, so I hope you caffeinate before you tune in tonight." So that's unfortunately I didn't give you all that word of warning. I see Michaela clearly has her coffee ready to go. So we will try not to keep it too dull as we go along. Before we get started, why don't we say a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you tonight, Lord, to say thank you again for another day that you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here together as a church family, as brothers and sisters. And Lord, we just ask that we can learn something tonight. And Lord, we just ask that we can take something away from the things in life that you have us go through. And Lord, that we can use those trials that you've given to us as ways that we can fight on and grow and get better as Christians. Lord, we pray for those who are away from us, Lord, whether they're traveling or unable to be here because of sickness. Lord, we just ask that you be with them, and Lord, return them to us safely. Lord, we just thank you again for all the things that are going on here. Lord, help us as a church to continue to grow. Lord, we pray for these new Christians that we've had in the last few weeks, and Lord, ask that they can continue to be growing up strong in you, and Lord, that we can be an encouragement to them. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for what he has done, and it's in his name that we pray tonight. In his name, amen. All right. Just going to go over a couple things before we get started. I know a couple of you have asked recently, and I get it a lot at work. "Hey, Josh, like, haven't asked you in a while. How are you doing since your accident just over a year ago?" And I have a pretty much a standard spiel, but I am doing pretty good. And so I appreciate everybody who checks in. I still have a lot of sensitivity to light. I get a little headaches from time to time. I am a headache. And so I know how you all feel when you're around me, so now I get to partake in that too. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty good. I have reached the point of max healing, but I do appreciate all the prayers that you have given me. And as we were going through that difficult time last year, my wife and I, we've been coming off the string of a few years where just some unfortunate things had happened, whether it was Noah having to go to the hospital because of his getting some RSV, or Lisa's dad having cancer, or Lisa having some pain and having to have some surgeries. And every year we would say, next year is going to be our year. And 2019 rolls around and I get hit by a truck, and we go through 2019. And I remember on New Year's Eve night, it rolls over to 2020. Lisa goes, "2020 is going to be our year." And so we all laugh, and we all know what 2020 has been. 2020 has been some sort of epic struggle, and there's just a whole lot going on. So kind of to get started tonight, I just want to, I found some fun things online about 2020 that I just wanted to share with you. A year. 2020 is a unique leap year. It has 29 days in February, 300 days in March, and what felt like 5 years in April. Right? Very true. We all remember what we went through just day after day, you know, doing kind of the same routine, not getting to go to work, not getting to go to the office, just kind of fighting through that. It was different. Here's another one. This one you just kind of have to take what it is. There's no Josh explaining it. Right? Just every month it just seemed to get like, what now? There's just more. Okay, how about the next one, Bob? All right, the last family that had to stay isolated together for several months. I'm sure we'll all be fine, though. Okay, how about this one? 2020, every second of 2020. But wait, there's more. All right, next one. All right, yesterday marked the beginning of an above normal hurricane season. Well, that's another one for the apocalypse bingo, right? Okay, trying to plan a business trip in 2020 is like playing Minesweeper, right? Not sure which thing you're going to hit, and like something's going to go crazy. All right, I like this next one. Skipping school in 2019 and skipping school in 2020. Right, let's just turn off the video or mute yourself. This one, I love this one. Travel plans in 2020 be like, here's what you expect versus reality, right? You think you're going to the Sydney Opera House, and instead it's just a pile of your own dishes because you're stuck in your house. All right, every day in 2020, what's the damage report? All right, this one, the new flavor for 2020 from Frito-Lay's. Orange juice and toothpaste. All right, teenagers in the future trying to learn all the things that happened in 2020 for their history final. All right, if we could give 2020 a star rating, right there, very bad, would not recommend. One I forgot and left off was a bunch of porta potties on fire, and it said the new scent from Yankee Candle called 2020. I can't believe I forgot to put that one on there. We all know what it's like. Like 2020 has been a very unique experience because it's a trying time, and it's not just a trying time that Josh Gustin is going through. Not like when I went through my accident last year. That was my own struggle. You all helped bear my burden, and I will always forever be grateful for your prayers and for that. But 2020 ends up being a shared burden together. We're going through it together, and there are struggles that we are going through and learning lessons together as friends, as family, as church, as a nation, as a state, as a world. We are learning lessons together. And so I want to propose to you, this is probably one of the most controversial things I could say up here. What if I told you, though, that 2020 wasn't the worst year? What if it's not? What if I told you that actually maybe 2020 might just turn out to be the best year ever? Now you're thinking, I'm crazy. And yes, confirmed, I am crazy. But I have a lot of optimism about 2020 and all the things that we're going through. I've experienced it in my own life. Every time that I have gone through some sort of difficulty or tragedy, that I have come out on the other side a better person, a happier person, a more purposed person. And what I'm hoping is that what we can learn from all of this at the end of 2020, and we still have two more months, and we still have an election coming up. We don't know what's coming yet, but I'm hoping that we as a people become better people altogether and more purposed and happier. And maybe we can just do that because of what we're going through together and going through these difficult times together. So we're going to take a look at a couple points of that. I'm going to try to help prove my point. Of course, you probably have your definitions of best year ever. I'm using it as a little hyperbole this evening. But let's take a look at some things that we're going through and what God is using all these difficult times for. First off, our first point tonight is I believe God is putting us into a disciplined direction. If you would, turn in to your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. There's an important point inside of Hebrews that we need to talk about tonight, dealing with all the things that we're going through. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And the point here is that God is disciplining those that he loves. Hebrews 12, 4 through 11 says this, "You have not yet resisted to the point of bloodshed in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons? My son, do not scorn the Lord's discipline or give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son he accepts. Endure your suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you do not experience discipline, something all sons have shared in, then you are illegitimate and are not sons. Besides, we have experienced discipline from our earthly fathers, and we respected them. Shall we not submit ourselves all the more to the Father of spirits and receive life? For they disciplined us for a little while, as seemed good to them. But he does so for our benefit, that we may share his holiness. Now all his discipline seems painful at the time, not joyful, but later it produces the fruit of peace and righteousness for those trained by it. I'm not up here to tell you that all the things that we're going through right now and have gone through in 2020 is God's punishment. But I am going to say that we can learn from this pain and this struggle as if it were discipline. That's what that passage says. We go through struggles and take that pain, take that struggle as discipline. Learn from it. And because of what we're going through, I think it's a good reminder to just stop and reflect on all these crazy things that have been happening in 2020. To just remember that God loves us. He's putting us through this because he loves us. He has something in mind for us. We don't maybe know what it is. Think back on things that you've gone through in your own life. You don't know what it is that you're going through while you're in it. It may not be till you get on the other side of that struggle. It may not be till we get on the other side, till we understand that struggle. But it is always good to reminder to understand that God loves us. That's why he's putting us through this. It is not God abandoning us. Romans chapter 8, 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God is working together something good through all the crazy, even through all the evil and the things that we see going on around us. God is working good things out inside of it if we only choose to open our eyes to it and look at it. You know, a lot of people ask right now when they see what's going on is like, I don't feel God's love. I don't feel it. Where is God? Where is God through all this? It feels like we're praying and we just keep getting more and more tragedy and more trials and more struggle. You would think at some point God would hear us. And it makes us wonder if God is giving us the silent treatment. You know, a man and his wife were having some problems at home and were giving each other the silent treatment. And the next week, the man realized that he would need his wife to wake him at 5 o'clock for an early morning business flight to Chicago. Not wanting to be the first to break the silence and lose, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me at 5 a.m. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover it was 9 a.m. and that he had missed his flight. Furious, he was about to go and see why his wife hadn't awakened him. But when he noticed a piece of paper by the bed, the paper said, "It is 5 a.m. Wake up." Are we getting the silent treatment from God? Are we getting the silent treatment? Or is it us who are actually giving God the silent treatment right now? It's important to remember through all this that we got to make sure that we are not the ones giving the silent treatment. Sometimes the silent treatment is a perfectly great form of discipline. It works. I've known many times that when my kids know that I'm upset at them, or they realize, oh, daddy's not saying something, daddy's not happy, the silent treatment all of a sudden can change their attitude. Maybe if we're getting the silent treatment, we have a change of attitude to make. And so let's make sure that we are not giving God the silent treatment. Micah 3:4 says, "Someday these sinful leaders will cry to the Lord for help, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time because they have done such wicked deeds." Are we giving God the silent treatment? Let's get it turned around. Through all of this, God is trying to give us a different direction, a disciplined direction. Let's read a couple verses about a different direction that God is trying to set us on. He really is trying to turn us around. Proverbs 3, verse 6 says this, "Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight." Proverbs 16:9, "A person plans his course, but the Lord directs his steps. This is a very important verse right now. We don't know what course we're on. We think we do. We think we've got it all planned out, right? 2020 is going to be our year. But sometimes God has us saying, yep, I know you've got your course, but I've got some different steps for you along the way that we're going to take as we try to get there. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And let's take a look at what Paul said to the church at Corinth about the nation of Israel and how God was using that. I'm going to take a drink of water. You know, one other thing about 2020 is they clearly shrunk the size of the water bottles. I don't know, I'm furious about that too. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13 says this, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were all drinking from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." More on that later. "But God was not pleased with most of them." Let's stop right there for just 1 second. I know there's more on the slides. They all drank from the same drink and ate the same spiritual food. They were all religious. They were all going to church. They were all on their mission, trying to get to the promised land. But God was still not pleased with them. So let's understand that just because we go through the motions of being God's people, that doesn't mean necessarily that God is pleased with us. There is more for us to do. Let's keep going. God was not pleased with most of them, for they were cut down in the wilderness. These things happened as examples for us, so that we will not crave evil things as they did. So do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And let us not be immoral, as some of them were, and 23,000 died in a single day. And let us not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by snakes. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So let the one who thinks he is standing be careful that he does not fall. No trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear, but with the trial will also provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it. God oftentimes had to remind the nation of Israel, hold on a minute, you think you know where you're going, you think you've got this nation thing all figured out, you think you've even got this religion thing all figured out, and you're going to try to blend it together with other idols, and you're going to do all kinds of different perverse things and try to incorporate them inside of your quote-unquote worship. But God would constantly send them reminders of who God really is. And he would send them difficult times to go through to help turn them around. And then it was on them as individuals to respond. Eventually, they didn't get it turned around. And God had to do what God had to do. But God's love still showed all the way through all those different times that he had to set Israel on a different course. And so let us learn tonight to take a disciplined direction from what God has given us. The next point that I want to bring out tonight that we can learn and take from are possibilities from our position. You know, right now, people are really looking for answers. They are really wanting to know, I don't understand all the things that are going on right now. I wish I had some way to explain it. I wish I had some way to bear the burden of it. I wish I had someone to help me through the struggles that we were experiencing this year. And thankfully, we have answers. Not because there's anything special from us, but because of what we know from God's word. And we have a unique responsibility, actually, right now, to help share and show people that there are real answers for the things that they are going through. Let's just take a look at a couple verses, and we're going to go through some things here, 2 Chronicles 15:2, and it just says this. He met Asa and told him, "Listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are loyal to him. If you seek him, he will respond to you. But if you reject him, he will reject you." So right now we have an answer to say, folks, let's seek the Lord. We want to know what we're going through. God is asking us, come find me. Come seek me out. I'm right here. Instead, too many times, we're often pushing him to the side and rejecting him. Don't do that. Don't heed this warning that was given to us in 2 Chronicles. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8 also talks about seeking him out. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. People are knocking right now. Let's open some doors for them. Let's show them who Christ is. How about Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, tell your request to God." And then Psalms 34, 4 says, "I sought the Lord's help, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." Just a myriad of verses here, just saying, hey, God is going to help us through, but we got to go ask. We got to go get that help. And it's our job as the church to go find those people who are asking right now. They're out there, and we got to help show them the way. We got to give them exactly who Christ is. There are possibilities right now because of 2020 that were not possible before. And so let's make that happen. Let's understand that that's actually a good thing for the church, okay? Let's not worry right now about what's going on maybe with our pensions. Let's not worry about what's going on with our pocketbooks, even our job situations, even about our toilet paper situation, okay? None of those things matter right now. Winning souls for Christ is what really matters. And so let's use these difficult times as these opportunities. God has put us in that position to showcase his light, to showcase his goodness and his love. Just to reiterate right now, our position compared to where we've been on a typical Sunday morning, okay? On a typical Sunday morning, we probably run somewhere between 150 to 200 people. Okay, and over the course of a week, we touch about 200 people inside this very building. But 2020 hit, and things changed, and we had to take things online, we had to adjust, we had to figure some things out and all that stuff. It was difficult, and a lot of people did some good work to make that happen. But I just want to share a couple like fun stats, okay? One of my jobs at work is to pull out stats and present stats to people and try to talk them up. But this is just some fun stuff that I got off of Facebook this week. So did you know in the last month, the Church of Christ at Harlan Facebook page touched 1,249 people, okay? Not just 200 on a Sunday morning, but we reached 1,249 people. Now look, we got a long way to go. Let's be honest with ourselves. But we're making a bigger dent. More people are aware of what's going on at the Church of Christ at Harlan than have ever been before. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, okay? I know, like, to some degree, we still see empty chairs here on Sunday because some people still cannot be with us because they're, you know, need to stay safe and do their thing. But God has given us an opportunity to share the gospel in a new way and in a different format than maybe we've ever been able to do and to do it well. And so that is some good news. Also, here's one. You're right again. Normally 200 people. Here's a video from earlier in this year where we had almost 1,000 people watch our video, our Sunday morning service. And it was actually one that nobody was in the room for, but 1,000 different views happened on that. We're making a bigger impact. Our circle is bigger because of the position that God has put us in. And it's our job to continue to grow that position. There are ways inside the social media platform, you know, sometimes we knock it because there's a lot of crazy and a lot of not so good things on there. But there are ways for us as individuals to help grow that impact. And I've set it up here before, but you have no idea what pushing that like button on our church streams actually does. It really helps promote those not only in your feed, but in your friends' feeds. Hitting the share button makes a big difference on how it gets spread out across your networks. I know that when we were going through that and I'd hit that share button, it wasn't uncommon for me to see people on my friends list actually watching the church stream with me who I would have never thought would have tuned in for church. But there they were. I don't know how long they stayed. Maybe they stayed a minute. Maybe they stayed 5 minutes. Maybe they watched the whole thing. I don't know. But at least we had an opportunity inside of that. And so I'm encouraging you tonight, like when they say smash that like button, smash that share button, it makes a difference. It actually does. Use it as a way to promote the gospel and don't stop there. That's not just say, hey, I did the thing and I'm good for the week. That's not the only way to share the gospel. Let's be honest with ourselves. But it is a way to help promote the good things that are going on here at the Church of Christ at Harlan and sharing God's word. The next thing I want to talk to us about tonight that we can do right now as we're going through all these struggles is right now we can be firm on the foundation. Understand that right now when things are tough, we got to go find a safe place. When things are rocky, we need to go to the rock. Absolutely, when things are rocky, we need to go to the rock. Now, not this rock, okay? Not Bob. Not this rock, okay? trying to get the land the joke there. Not this rock, but the rock of ages. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's the rock that we have to go to. I had to put the rock in there. That was for Derek, who's a big Miami guy, as you all know. And so the rock is a big Miami guy. So that's for you, Derek. We finally figured a way to get the rock into a message here. But we've got to lean on the rock. Things are rocky right now. Let's go to the rock. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 25. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the flood came, and the winds beat against that house. But it did not collapse because its foundation had been laid on rock. It's okay to go to our safe place when things get tough. You know, sometimes when you had a bad day, where do you want to go? Man, I just want to go home. I just need a minute. I need a break. I need to process today or the situation. I need to think about it. And so just like that in our spiritual lives, as we're going through things, we have to go to a safe place. We have to go to the rock. That rock is Jesus. 1 Samuel 2:2 says this, "No one is holy like the Lord. There was no one other than you. There is no rock like our God." Our God is safe. Our God is the God who saves. Psalm 18:2 says this, "The Lord is my high ridge, my stronghold, my deliverer. My God is my rocky summit where I take shelter, my shield, the horn that saves me, and my refuge." Wasn't uncommon in these days, of the days of David, for them to build fortresses and cities on top of hills because they could be more easily defended. They could be much safer. It's harder to fight swinging up when you can drop rocks at the same time down, right? And so that we're able to make some really strong defenses. God is that strong defense for us. We must go to our safe place when things are getting hard. And that's okay to find shelter, to find strength, to find safety in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he is there for. He is asking us to come to him in faith. We can stay firm on his foundation. And our last point tonight, though, is we can stay firm on the foundation, but we have to now take a focus on the faith that God is trying to give us at this time. We just talked about the Lord being the rock. And I want to tell you this, that the same God who tells us to cling to the rock also calls us to venture out onto the stormy sea. When things are getting a little bit crazy in life, sometimes we've got to go to the rock to find safety, but sometimes we've got to go right through it. There's no other way sometimes to get through the struggles and trials and tribulations of our own personal journeys, of 2020, of the tragedies and difficulties that we go through. God is calling us out onto his own stormy sea. You know where I'm going with this. We're going to talk about Peter for just a little bit in Matthew chapter 14, 22 and 33. Peter was called out, Peter, whose name is Rock or Pebble, to go out on the sea. Now, what happens to rocks when they go into water, right? Boop. They sink and they sink and they sink. But let's talk about what happened here with Peter. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dispersed the crowds. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already far from land, was taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. As the night was ending, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost," and cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he became afraid. And starting to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they went up into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter, the pebble, the stone, gets out of the boat. And I'm telling you, like, that took some faith, did it not? To get out onto that water. I don't know how choppy it is, but you've seen images or documentaries or videos online, perhaps, of water and boats, you know, going through storms and just how crazy it can be. And I don't believe that the fishing boat that the disciples were on was some, you know, mega ship built to handle any turbulence on the waters. It was probably a fairly smallish boat. And they were out in the middle of it, and, you know, it came. And it felt like, this is it, guys, this is it. It's dark, it's stormy, it's all around them. No matter how hard they're rowing, they probably can't seem to get anywhere. And then there's Jesus. And to say, hey, you know, for Peter to even want to get out of that boat is some kind of belief to know that he could at least try to get out. But the problem is Peter takes his eye off Jesus. How many times do we know what we're supposed to do? We believe in Jesus. We believe in his power to save. And we set ourselves up to do something pretty great. Peter was getting ready to do something great, right? Walk on the water. And when he gets doing something great, he forgets who the great one is. And he starts to look out around and says, "Oh no, what am I doing? I'm out of a boat in the middle of a storm." And he starts to not keep his focus on Jesus. No matter what we're trying to do, whether we're trying to do something great, whether we're trying to just go through the struggles in life, let's not take our focus off of Jesus. He is the one who is calling us to him. He is the one who is safe. If only Peter would have remembered that Jesus was that safety point and Jesus was that rock, maybe he could have stayed above the fray. But instead, Jesus had to help him out of the water. But I want to tell you this. One of the reasons why it's okay to go into the sea One of the reasons it's okay to go into the storm, into the waves, whatever that means to you for your life, is because in the middle of those, that's where Jesus is. That's where Jesus was. That's why Peter needed to get out of the boat. He just simply needed to get to Jesus. The disciples simply needed to get to Jesus. That's why Jesus got out there on the water in the first place. We have to understand our difficulties. That's where Jesus is. Doesn't always feel like it. It doesn't always feel like a great time to go through tragedies or difficulties or 2020. It doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't. But Jesus is there. Jesus is there saying, hey, you know what? Come. Get out of the boat. And so, folks, let's get out of the boat. Let's go to Jesus. Let's do what he's called us to do. Let's get busy doing his work, and let's have faith on him. Tonight, if you're outside of the body of Christ, I want you to get out of your boat. I want you to go to Jesus. Believe that he is the Son of God, that he can save you. I want you to confess that he is Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Turn around. Be baptized into the watery grave of baptism and be faithful to him. Take a direction towards him. Understand that he is giving you a purpose. He is giving you faith. Fix your eyes on him and take care of the possibilities that Jesus has given us and be faithful to him. So if you all, would you stand with us tonight as Drake's going to lead us in this song of invitation, and let's turn our eyes on Jesus.